Yes, Jesus, there is no other name that we can come and receive life and power. Just only in the name of Jesus, Jehovah God, comes our salvation. As we worship this morning, as we spend some time to wander over your word, let your Holy Spirit speak in us, through us, in spite of us, that our hearts may touch, and we may continue to fully submit ourselves unto you until you come back in clouds of heaven. Bless us this Sabbath, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Sermon this morning entitled "When the Rooster Crows, Peter Remember His Broken Promise." When the rooster crows, Peter remember his broken promise. Ken Smith was a Naval Academy student. Part of his contract to attend the Naval Academy, he must stay single until he graduates and become a naval officer. 6 months before the graduations, Ken secretly married his wife. They were expecting their first child. He thought that no one will know about it. Unexpectedly, he was summoned to come to the executive officer with some of others, senior Naval Academy students, so they could answer the questions whether they are married or not. Mr. Smith was called up first, and the executive officer said, "Mr. Smith, answer me, are you married?" In a position of attention, straight and tall in his uniform, he said, "Sir, I'm not married." The executive officer kind of feel relieved. He want to spare this promising young officer. Kent went home. He felt good that the executive officer believed his lie. And it came on him. He actually broke or violated the UMCJ, Uniform Military Code of Justice. He lied under oath. Mr. Smith has to go back before the end of business to see the executive officer and confess that he lied and plead to spare his career, but he is able to endure any consequence. That day end the military career of Ken Smith. He was fired, dishonorable discharge, because he lied under oath and he broke one of his contract. He must stay single until he finished the Naval Academy and become a naval officer. Sermon this morning is about Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. He promised that he would never deny his Savior. He made it publicly before Jesus and his fellow disciples, saying, "I will not. Even some of you fellow disciples, even some of you fall away from Jesus, but I will not deny you master. Interesting to know, Peter promised, even if I have to die, I will never deny you, Lord. And the Bible says all of other disciples shook their heads, agree, say the same thing. The Bible tells us Jesus warned his disciples about difficult times about to come. He appealed to them to search their hearts and prepare for a spiritual readiness to stand firm, to stand loyalty to what they proclaim, Jesus as Lord. Two things that Jesus directly pointed out to them that night. Remember, well, they were all on the table and Jesus said, one of you, before tonight's over, one of you will betray me. That thought startled the disciples. They were all wondering, leaned forward and said, Lord, is it I? It created disturbance in the mind of the disciples. Why did Jesus start to doubt them? One of the things that Jesus directly pointed out that night, Jesus said to them, tonight all of you, the word is, all of you will fall away because of my account. Did you know when Jesus presented those warnings to the disciples, they were offended. They took issues. Master, you don't trust us? That's why Peter stepped forward. Lord, if all of them fall away, I will not. And he even sealed it, guaranteed, Lord, even if I die, I will what? I will not deny you. My family this morning, the scripture tells us, all of them deny their Savior. All of them broke their promise. They took off when Jesus was arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane. They broke their promise. Surveying the text, spend some time to look at the text and study, meditate on it. There were two issues that were not resolved in the minds of the disciples. The first one is the self-righteousness. Self-righteousness implies when Peter says, when they fall away, when they deny you, Jesus, I myself will not. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is when we consider one's kindness and goodness more favorable than others. Self-righteousness, considering my thoughts, my opinions, my knowledge of the scripture is far superior than yours. Have mercy on us. Jesus already settled the issue of self-righteousness with the disciples. You may remember when Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 16
Pardon me. Luke chapter 18, there is a parable when Jesus told there were two worshippers that went to church, went to the sanctuary. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector who was singers. You remember the parable, the story. And Jesus said, the parable says that the religious person, the Pharisees, went in the temple, lift up his hand and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Thanks that I am not like that tax collector. I pay my tithe. I come to church. I'm actively involved. Thank you, Lord. Have mercy on me that I am not like her. And Jesus says, and there was another worshiper. He hid himself over there at a battle. Foyer. He looked around to see if anybody spotted him in a sanctuary. But he bowed his head and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, the great sinner. The issue of righteousness is already settled. Jesus told his disciples, the one that humbled himself was found favorable in the eyes of the Lord. But it echoed again in the very last moment of Jesus and his disciples. It echoed when Peter said, maybe you will fall away. Maybe my sister, my brother here will fall away of Jesus, but I will not. That's self-righteousness. The other issue that came up is self-confidence. Self-confidence is ignoring I have problems in my life. Self-confidence is rely all my expertise and my training and my wisdom that close all the doors for corrections and improvement. Peter said, Lord, even if I have to die, I will never deny you. Those are the two issues that were not resolved when Jesus asking his disciple, pray and watch. Because the spirit is willing, but the body was weak. The spirit of prophecy tells us that disciples felt offended when Jesus warned them about the trials and problems were about to come on them. They felt disturbed that their Savior could not trust him. That's why they would feel disturbed. How could the Master said that they would abandon him, deserted him? How could he say that? They were distrusted. They were offended when Jesus appealed to them to search your heart, whether you can remain loyalty in times of trials. The big problems about self-righteousness and over self-confidence is that most Christians seems they are spiritually driven, but actually they are denying the working power of the Holy Spirit in their hearts without knowing it. That's the problem. I myself wrestle with it. But thanks to God with this experience, it helps me to revisit my issues and my personal struggles with the Lord. Most Christians seems to be spiritually driven, but actually they are riding on the self-righteousness and overconfidence. They're actually denying the Savior without knowing it. You may remember the experience of Jimmy Swaggart, one of the great evangelical worldwide television's ministry. After he fell from grace, he was once a great, I remember him watching as a very, maybe 16, 14. I love to see Jimmy Swaggart moving around when he fell from grace because he entangled with immoral issues. He make a confession. This is what he said. I forgot that I was just a human who was deceived by my self-righteousness and my overconfidence. At some point, I rejected the sign and warning of Jesus in my life. Could it be that oftentimes self-righteousness, self-confidence influence our effort to become sincere Christians? At the same time, we're denying our loyalty to our Savior. Could it be? Could it be we're denying our Savior without knowing it? All Christians must learn from the Master how to fully surrender the self-righteousness and self-confidence so that we may all get ready to remain loyally to Jesus in spite of. How can we, as Christians, overcome the negative influence of the self-righteousness that I am much superior in my thought, in my training, when I look at you? How can we overcome the overconfidence of knowing it all? Been there, done that. My friend, this morning I would like to submit to you to follow Jesus. We need to follow Him in the spirit of self-denial. We must humble ourselves, deny ourselves. Matthew chapter 16, if you may. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Jesus make an appeal. If anyone would come after me, he must what? He must deny the self. The self that sometimes when you're not connected to Jesus, it will ride up and become a self-righteousness, without knowing that we denying or going against the will of our Lord. If anyone would like to come after me, deny yourself, carry the cross, and follow Jesus. Self-denial is to deny the natural selfish motives of the human spirit, but to be obedient, to seek and to do the will of the Father. That is self-denial. Self-denial is to deny the selfish motive of the human heart. What is the selfish motive of the human heart? My friends, as Christians, we always use God as a bailout when we get caught in sometimes some problems that keep us awake, tossed and turning at night. We use God as a bailout when nothing else works. As we toss and turn. When your wife sleeps by yourself in the bedroom while you spend the night on the couch in the living room. We use God as a yo-yo when things are not going well. Life, health, failing. Looking at your bills and you're not even going to make it financially for the next mortgage. But when things going well, it's just like a yo-yo, we let go and pull back when we need it. Self-righteousness, self-denial is to deny the selfish nature of the human heart. Using Jesus, God, when we need Him. But the other part of self-denial is to deny that, but be obedient to do the will of the Father. You know, when Jesus and His disciples were on the Mount on the gardens of Gethsemane, when Jesus warned the disciples, these are the things going to happen, they were offended. So when they proceed forward, Jesus said, wait here while I go a little further to pray. We know we studied that before. Three times Jesus went forward and prayed, came back and found them, what? They were sleeping. And Jesus said, would you stay awake for an hour? Keep watching and praying so that you may not fall into what? Into temptations. He appealed to the disciples at that point. And then he went and wrestled alone by himself. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass us. If it's not, let not my will, but let your will be what? Be done. To overcome self-righteousness and self-confidence, we must deny the self. Stop using God as a bailout, but be obedient by submission. God, if it's possible, let your will be done, but not mine. We can overcome the self-righteousness and self-confidence, submitting, denying the self, follow Jesus, and pick up the cross. Secondly, we can overcome the self-righteousness and the self-confidence by following Jesus in the broken spirit-driven, broken hearts, humble hearts. Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51, verse 16 and 17.
when David came back from his detour, he wrote Psalm 51. Remember, David made a great mistake. He committed adultery and then with Bathsheba. And Nathan reminded him, and then David confessed, and he wrote Psalm 51. But the point I would like to bring it out, verse 16 and verse 17. Psalm 51, 16, 17. David said, "Do you, Lord, do you delight in sacrifice, or would I bring it? You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifice of the Lord are what? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O Lord, you will not despise." To overcome the self-righteousness that sometimes unconsciously kicks in, and we ride on the self-confidence, we must come to Jesus with broken heart, contrite spirit. Let me point out to you several observations as I study the passage, the denial of Jesus by Peter. If you look at the scripture reading, John chapter 18, John chapter 18, verse 20, if you look at verse 15 and 16, I would like to make some observations. I praise the Lord to see that. I will read it for us while you follow with your scripture. John 18, 15 and 16. Simon Peter and another disciple. Did you know that who's that disciple is? That was John. Simon Peter and another disciples were following Jesus because this disciples was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus into the high courts, the high priest's courtyard. But Peter, where was he? But Peter had to wait outside the door, the gate. The other disciples, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter inside the what? The courtyard. Did you know that night, when the rest of the disciples flee for their lives, only two disciples follow Jesus? That was John and Peter. So John was known to the religious, to the high priest, so they allow him to follow Jesus through the gate. And Peter was held out outside. John had to come back to bring Peter inside the courtyard. At that point, the servant said to Peter, "Peter, are you one of his disciples?" And what's the answer? "I don't know what you're saying. I don't know the man." Peter denied Jesus for the first time. Do you know why? Because Peter wants to go through the courtyard. He wants to follow Jesus all the way. Was he guilty? No, he was not. He rationalized with his mind, "I can deny him Jesus, but as long as I will get through the court, because I want to follow Jesus all the way." He denied Jesus first there. The second time he denied Jesus, if you look at the scripture reading, verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was standing with others, rebels or people that arrested Jesus, to warm themselves in a bonfire. Another person asked Peter, "You are not one of the disciples, are you?"
What did Peter say?
I am not. I don't know the man.
He denied Jesus second time.
Why did he deny Jesus second time?
He didn't want to be thrown out of the courtyard. Peter denied Jesus because he wants to stay near Jesus. He rationalized. I can say I don't know him, but I want to stay near to see Jesus and to hear him.
And third time he denied Jesus. Verse 26. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off at the Garden of Gethsemane, challenged him, "Didn't I see you at the olive grove?" And what did Peter say? Peter denied him again. Why did Peter deny Jesus again? He wants to save his life. My family, this morning, self-righteousness, we try to do away the right thing, but we want to rationalize because our motives, we want to justify our motives. But when the cocks crow, when the rooster crow, what happened to Peter? He remembered what the Savior said, "Before the cocks crow, you deny me how many times?" 3 times. My family, this morning, Peter denied Jesus without knowing it because he rationalized with his self-righteousness. Could it be for us? We deny Jesus in the same way. But when the eyes of the Savior meet the eyes of Peter, when the cocks crow, the spirit of conviction moved his heart and tears swelling in his face, and he said, he left the courtyard crushed and trembled. He denied the Savior, his master. My family, this morning, we can deny the Savior and the Master without knowing it. But until we have the broken spirit, stimulate when the Spirit of God comes into our hearts, we can truly and genuinely submit ourselves to Jesus. We no longer blame God. We no longer use him as a bailout. But we can say, and Peter say, "Even if I have to die, I will never what? Deny you." My family, this morning, let the rooster grows be the voice of the Holy Spirit. Remind us to search our individual hearts whether we are working and moving and doing out of self-righteousness or self-confidence, or do we need to fully deny the self and search, be willing to do and to follow Jesus all the way. My family, this morning, let that be our prayer this Sabbath. To humble us, to break us, so we can serve Jesus without denying him. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Father God, thank you for your love, your patience with us. We may have denied you so many times. We reason is as long as we follow you, as long as we stay near you. But your eyes are searching our hearts for those who are loyalty and committed to Jesus in spite of. Help us not to follow you because there is something that we want. Prestige. Reputations. Help us to search our hearts so we can recommit ourselves to you in a broken spirit and in denying spirit. And do likewise, you said, watch and pray. For the body is weak and the spirit is weak. Help us, Lord, to say to you, let not our will be done, but let your will be done. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.